Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your word. I pray that you will continue to help us understand it the way you want us to understand it. And thank you, Lord, for your word that will remind us on how to do things and what to do. In Jesus' name, amen. For since we're missionaries, we talk about missions all the time. And that's a privilege for us to be able to be reminded of what we're supposed to do. A lot of things that happen in our lives, and sometimes we get so sidetracked in what we're supposed to do as Christians, especially COVID. And I'm going to bring it up a little bit, and I hope you're not offended. And if you are, I'm leaving anyway in a month, so that's just fine with me. And you'll forget 2 years later, and you'll still invite me. I don't know, but fulfilling the Great Commission through care. I mean, that's our job, is to fulfill the Great Commission. It's great. This is what God wants us to do. And sometimes when circumstances doesn't fit in with what we want to do, doing the Great Commission our way, we struggle. We struggle on how to accomplish it. But so this morning, I want to be able to remind myself as missionaries and all of us on how to fulfill the Great Commission. And here is through care. I mean, there's a lot of things we could talk about, but we'll just talk about it in this passage. And so I want you to listen very carefully, not because you can't read, but sometimes my accent can be a hindrance. I'm a Filipino, and sometimes I think like a Filipino. In English also. When I went to the Philippines, and when I go back to the Philippines, the way I talk changed. All right, we would say 1, 2, 3, 4. When I get to the Philippines, it will change into 1, 2, 3, 4. And so it depends what English is going to come out this morning. So listen very carefully. Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. A very familiar passage. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Then when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to a surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Fulfilling the Great Commission through care. You know, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to follow what he did when he was on earth, to fulfill the command that the Father has for him, the mission that the Father has for him. And that's all we have in the Bible. We are called a follower of Jesus Christ. We do things the way he does it. And so in this passage right here, the disciples were coming back from their short-term mission trips. We would say, Jesus sent him out, you know, and said, "Go ahead and preach the gospel, you know, good news. And when you leave, don't bring any food, no extra food, no extra drink, or you have that, you know, drink that would not go, you know, not ruin your water. He's like, you know, we have cold water, right? At a time, I don't know what they have, but Jesus said, don't go, don't bring anything. Just go. All right. I will empower you to heal diseases and preach the gospel. But also, when you go to a place, you should go in a house and stay there. And you know, when they welcome you, you stay there and preach the good news to them and eat what they eat. Whatever they eat, they serve you, you eat it. And so basically Jesus was saying, I will provide for you. Go and do what I want you to do. And they did. They went out and did their short terms, and they came back after that. And then Jesus were having his more of a debriefing. All right. And the disciples were so excited and was telling Jesus about everything that has been happening. And in this setting, Jesus was sitting down with people, of course. All right. When they were sharing this events, the experience that they have in the field, Jesus noticed that they don't even have enough time to talk and eat. All right, so, and Jesus said, hey, we have to go somewhere. You know, we have to have some food and rest. And so let's get on a boat. And then they went on a boat. And the people realized that, I don't know how they knew where Jesus was going, you know, but they knew exactly where Jesus was going. And so all the towns and villages, they were running after. They overtook Jesus. I mean, this is just amazing when you think about it. Jesus and the disciples were having time, you know, in the boat. Maybe they were eating in the boat and talking and debriefing. While they're doing this, the people were running as fast as they can to get to where Jesus is. And so the disciples were enjoying it. Jesus promised, you're going to have rest. You're going to have food. Isn't that what we wanted sometimes? You know, the missionaries are always complaining, we don't have enough time. And when Jesus does, when God just gives us some rest, and we're happy with it, all right? And we deserve this rest. And what happened to the disciples, when they got to the other side of the boat, of the lake, the people were waiting. You can just imagine what the disciples were thinking. No, you didn't. Who told you? We're supposed to be having rest here. All right? I mean, the people were waiting. I don't know what the people, you know, looks like. We're like, ah, Jesus is here. And the disciples were like, no. We want to get away from you, people. This is Jesus promising us rest. This is not rest. Sure enough, Jesus saw the crowd. He saw the crowd. And Jesus was filled with compassion. Do you think the disciples were thinking the same thing? Oh, no, you didn't. You promised us, Jesus. After all, Jesus never lies, right? He saw the crowd and he was filled with compassion because they were like sheep without shepherds. In the other accounts, he was like they were harassed. Jesus was filled with compassion. In order for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to have that compassion Jesus' way. And we have to look at people the way Jesus looked at people. You know how different our eyes are? We got different eyes. Mine's small. When I was getting my passport here in the States, and they took a picture, and the lady said, sir, you need to open your eyes wider. And I'm like, it is open. You have no compassion of my eyes. And she's thinking, you know, the way we see people is different than the way Jesus sees people. Especially for us Christians. How do we see people? Let's bring it here in our church. How do you see people? When you see people with different backgrounds and different, you know, thinking. It's true in the Philippines with COVID. And the government said, no church. And so when they said, no church, close down the church. Members are calling, Pastor Hilmer, what do we do? Are we going to follow the government? And the other one said, oh, well, of course we're not going to follow. I mean, it was chaos. The pastors were throwing a fit. The members were throwing a fit. I mean, there was fighting in the church. Are you kidding me? We're supposed to be Christians. And we can even handle a little bit of discomfort. The way we see people will reflect on what we do next. And Jesus saw the crowd and was filled with compassion. As Christians, we should have that. We should be filled with compassion no matter what. Because that's not what we're all about. What we're all about is about fulfilling the Great Commission. It's not about our comfort. It's not about what we think. The people, the world is looking at us. Is the world saying, wow, these Christians, look at them. Look at how they handle this pandemic. They are filled with compassion. Are we? So instead of fulfilling the Great Commission, sometimes our feelings and our rights and our opinion gets in a way in fulfilling the Great Commission. It's not about what we do. It's about how we see people. Do we see them as lost? The world around us, when you go to work, what do you see? Do you see lost people? Do you see them as Jesus said, I'm full of compassion, I'm filled with compassion because they are lost, they are dying without Christ. And some people say, we are free. You know, sometimes being away from the fold, people say, free to do whatever they want. You're not free. If you're not in Christ, you're not free. You're bonded. You're in bondage to sin and to the work of the enemies. And that's what our job is. Even here at home, the way we see people, we need to see it the way Jesus sees people around us. It's filled with compassion. And I was like, when I was preparing this message, what would be a great illustration for compassion? I was looking, great pastors, they have like, quotes from other pastors and great, doctors, and this is compassion. I was keep looking at it, and I could not find one. And my wife and I went to Colorado to have a family reunion, and Luke's not going to like it. But the last day of our vacation, Luke ran into a cactus and just fell. And screaming, it hurts. And so we went over like, calm down, Luke. It's no, calm down, it really hurts. Calm down, Luke. And I'm like, it's like, that's a good, I didn't have compassion there. And sometimes it happens in my family. I'm supposed to be an example for compassion. As a church, we are supposed to be an example of compassion. Next slide. There you go, Steve. Thank you. So we're talking about our situation here. We're talking about the world. 1040 window, I know, I'm sure you've heard of it. And this is some description. 86% of the world and rich people group stays there. Right here. 80% of the poorest of the poor is right there. 82% with lowest quality of life. And that is our target. We want to send Filipinos, as many Filipinos, to these 1040 windows. And we're excited about it. The Filipinos can do it. Right? And when we tell them, hey, we should go, and we have a lot of applicants right now that come and said, hey, we want to go on these 1040 windows. And why? Because I'm a teacher, I'm an engineer. I said, well, there's something wrong with that statement. You see, passion is different from compassion. I have a passion to build or have a passion for this thing, and we need it in the mission field, but that should not be the foundation of you going to the field. God will use it. And so we get to talk to them and said, do you love Jesus? Do you love the lost? You have compassion on them. We had a plan on, I think this is a 4-Sunday series anyway. Just kidding. I went to Malaysia a couple of years ago to check on area so we can send Filipinos and American, a team. We have this plan to have a short-term mission trip or mission ministry in the Philippines to mix the Filipinos and Americans and train them together and send them out. And we have that. So I have, we were thinking maybe we should go to Malaysia and check it out. And I went there. I mean, I heard about Malaysia, I heard about the need, but really didn't have that compassion, you know, because I've never been there. So I went over there for 3 days, and this guy just, you know, toured me around, and man, this refugees who doesn't have passports, they don't have a home, they can't go to school because they're not citizens of Malaysia. They can't get any help. I mean, these people are living in this big building. It's probably, what, 10 families in there, or small building. And I get to experience and I see this, and I'm like, oh, I wish we have more people coming here to minister. Are you compassionate enough to change your lifestyle? See, compassion makes you do things you don't like to do. It is a very uncomfortable thing. It's not something that we like. It's not something that is built in. We have no compassion at all. But when Christ is in us, things change. Compassion to the lost. Secondly, in order for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to have, Jesus takes action. He acted on compassion right away. When in Mark 6:34, he said, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching to them many things. Now, this is a simple, you know, he began teaching to them many things. Now, remember, the disciples is with him, all right? And they have two things to do, food and recreation. That was promised to them. When Jesus saw the crowd, he began teaching to them. Now, if I was one of the disciples, I would probably say, excuse me, how about the promise though? You know, we're supposed to rest. This is not resting at all. This is like stress. Now, Jesus, the way he operates is doing what God wants him to do. And for us, of course, we demand the rest that we have. And Jesus was teaching to them many things right away. What would happen if Jesus say, people here that came before, you know, right here, like thousands of you, you're going to have to go home and wait 2 days or 3 days because I need to rest. I need to give my disciples rest. Or he could do something like, disciples, go away. I'll just take care of this stem, this thing. But he began teaching to them right away. There was an urgency in Jesus' ministry. It's urgent. It has to happen now. It can't wait. And I think with our missions to complete the Great Commission, there's an urgency. You have to move now. I'm so thankful of this church. You know, as I learn about the missions committee and the church and how you handle ministries, there's always an urgency. You keep moving and you keep just doing ministry. And we want to thank you for doing that, for sending us out, for, you know, to be part of what God is doing in the world today, not just here. To be able to act upon, yes, Jesus was saying, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, but we still have to do something right away. We can't wait until it is comfortable for us. We can't wait until we like it, until everything is set up. You are doing it now. I like the fact that you guys are preparing the young people to serve someday. And in fact, we have a lot of missionaries are coming out right here, right? We have missionaries, the young people are going out on missions. I'm like excited about it. It is now. We can't wait. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus was saying, you know, he's doing ministry right away. He didn't wait. Not only that, Jesus showed compassion and he takes into action. Jesus commanded his disciples to reach out. I think this is a funny one for me. Make my own scenario. By this time, it was late in the day. So late in the day, his disciples came to him. Now, I was thinking of this, you know, his disciples came to him. So he must be a little bit distant when Jesus was preaching. All right? I'm not sure where the disciples were behind the side. I don't know. Maybe Jesus was here and the choir right here were the disciples and they were just listening. And he said, and the disciples came to him. A lot of them came to him and they said, we got a little problem. And he said, it's already late. And I'm not sure if you noticed, Jesus. It's a little late now, you know. And I don't know if you noticed. We got lots of people who doesn't have food. Send them away. It's really kind of funny for disciples to do. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and buy food. Panda Express. Mexican food. Whatever, they need to go and find food. All right, this is the disciples trying to tell Jesus the problem and the solution. Isn't that sometimes true? That we tell Jesus how to do things. We tell Jesus or God what it looks like. And we tell him we should do it this way. This is a remote place. That's given. They said, it's already late. That's given. Send the people away. Wow. Now, these are the disciples that had been following Jesus. Jesus never sent anyone away. And to suggest to Jesus that he should send these people away because it is our problem now. They're thinking, whoa, this is a problem. We know Jesus, what Jesus is going to do. All right? It's going to be on us. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Now, that's even incredible. You give them something to eat. And the disciples were looking. That's a lot of people to feed. What do we do? I would be doing the same thing. We don't have a kitchen. We don't have a cook. We're in a remote area. It's late. How can we cook for these people? It takes days to cook. You give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than half years of wages. True. It is expensive to do ministry. Is it? And they're realizing that they don't have enough money to feed these people. Or we could say, now we're not going to use our money to feed these people. We saved up for us, for our ministry. You give them something to eat, they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. And are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to these people? It depends on how you read it. You say, well, are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to people to eat? Or you could say, what in the world are you thinking? Are we supposed to spend the money that's for us? That we saved up for many weeks and months to feed these people? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do we have? He said, go and see. And they found out. They said, five and two fish. The disciples were told to reach out. Care, compassion, active, and reach out. Now remember, When they were going out, Jesus told them, don't worry about food. All right? Wherever you go, you will have food. People will feed you. This time, they're supposed to feed the people. Instead of having a recreation, instead of having their own food to eat, now they have to feed people. Part of the things that we have to do in missions is to be able to reach out to people. And sometimes finances can get away in doing missions. And I'm not talking about this church. This church is awesome. You guys just give on mission is just crazy. And that's awesome. And we're, you know, and you have a really weird problem. You know, it's like, who do we send? We have money. I'm like, I've never heard that before. That is so weird. You might not be, maybe you're not part of disciples because the disciples are saying, what do we have to spend this money? I have been to so many churches that small or big, I would ask them, you know, let's go on missions, but we're not ready. We don't have enough money. And these are huge churches. And the small churches, the same thing. We don't have no money. It's the same problem. In order, you know, to be able to reach out, we need finances. But Jesus was trying again to teach the lesson here that's not what it means. That's not what we need. I am enough to provide for you. I am enough to reach the people that I want to reach. I am big enough to provide all your needs and the people that we are going to reach. And Jesus said, find out how many we have. What do we have? So instead of asking, now we don't have anything, we should ask for us to ask ourselves, what do we have to work with? And Jesus can do miracles. What do you have to work with? Your life? He said, go and find out. Go and see. They actually have to go and look for food. Jesus was doing the follow through. You give them something to eat. Find food in the middle of these people here. I can just imagine what these disciples were doing, walking around and asking, this is ridiculous. Hey, do you have any food? Fish, maybe? I don't know. What do you do with that? Oh, I don't know. Jesus wanted me to ask for food. Do you have any food? No, you know, those adults, no, we have no food. You have any food? No. I mean, the disciples were going around and shaking their head. What are we doing? We can't feed these people. I would be grumbling, like, I'm not looking for. I mean, the pride goes in a way, right? It's in a way sometimes. And finally found, maybe one of the disciples found a little boy. Hey, do you have any food? Sure, I have food. And they did find. What would happen if they refused? What would happen if the disciples said, there's no way we're going to go out and find food? I'm sure God will do something. I'm sure Jesus will do something. But they would miss out. They would miss out on what God can do through them. We would miss out on what God wants to do through us to reach the unreached. Jesus can do, God can do it any other way, but he has given us an opportunity to be part of what he's doing. And that's why I was really adamant on the Filipinos. You know, when we send them out, they said, we can't go. Only the Americans can go. They have money. I said, what are you talking about? In the Bible, it shows that it's not about that. It's about how big God is. An opportunity for us to be part of what he's doing in the world today. To reach out. And that requires for us to really go, to get out of our comfort zone, to reach out. Jesus showed them compassion. Jesus takes action. Jesus commanded his disciples to reach out. Fourth one, he told his disciples to engage. Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. Now imagine this. They have 2 fish and 5 bread. They come to Jesus and said, it's all we got. What do we do with that? All right? And I was trying to read this carefully so that I won't, you know, I can understand what they're doing. And did God do a miracle first and then he told disciples to sit the people down? Or what happened? Well, what happened here is that there was no miracle yet. All right, Jesus told them to seat the people by hundreds and fifties with 2 fish and 5 bread. Now they know the intention was to feed this crowd and they know that Jesus is going to feed them. Now imagine going around and said, hey, 100 people right here, 50, right? I don't know why 50, 100, I know, but green grass, right? Nice place to just, we're having a party, or it's just a cookout, you know, just without food, just sit down. And people are like, what are you doing? Yeah, just sit down, man. Just don't ask questions. Just sit down there. This is not democracy here. Just sit. He sat down in the 50s, and I don't know how to do it. 50s and 100s, 99, one more. And they're all sitting down, and the disciples were saying, for me, I would freak out. I'm going, you know, the shame thing? You know, what if Jesus doesn't do anything? These people are asking, why are we sitting down? Well, we're going to feed you. What food? Just sit. 50s and 100s, and they're all sitting down. It's just for me, I was imagining, how much time do you need to sit down 5,000 men, not including children? And 100s is a huge place. It's like 4th of July. And they all sat down, all right? And the disciples came back. They're all set. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? To actually engage the people. To actually go there and engage them. See, to accomplish the Great Commission, we can pray about it. We can give. But we need to also engage the people that we are reaching. 3.5 billion people of the world today have not heard the gospel. Taking the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I was like, why is it not rice? Why is it bread? For Filipinos, it would be like taking 5 cups of rice, fried rice, I don't know, and 2 fish, we love fish. All right, we eat it in like what? In the morning, fish and rice, in lunchtime, rice and fish, in the evening, same thing. Taking the 5 loaves of bread and fish, 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. So the loaves, it's just nothing happening yet, all right? It's not like everything was boom. It's still by faith. The disciples were distributing these things. Keep it coming, there's more. It's just a place for me, when I was thinking about it, it is so impossible for Jesus to feed all of this by just praying and you know, but this is Jesus we're talking about. We're talking about a God that can do everything beyond what we could think of. And that's why when you talk about missions, to be able to accomplish the Great Commission, we have to look at it the way Jesus looked at things. But we do need people to go. We do need you to pray if God will send you. You would probably say, God is not going to provide. We don't have enough finances. The disciples were in a very uncomfortable situation where they have to go out and by faith and sit people by hundreds and fifties, the food is coming, but it's not there yet. And yet, Jesus showed them that if you do things my way, God will be glorified. Not you. God will be glorified and the work will be done. One day I was having my devotion and we do have, you know, we do devotion. Missionaries also sometimes we do devotions and we pray sometimes. Some of you were thinking, yeah, missionaries just go in a closet and pray and devotion and go out, you know. Sometimes we do it outside too. So I went outside and doing my devotion, just having a good time, sitting in this rocking chair, not a rocking bench thing. And I was studying this and I said, Lord, I want to be a blessing today. No, just that morning, I want to be a blessing. Just prayer, you know, just be able to apply what you have me here. And I was sitting down and just having my music. And there was this guy running in the road. He's the guy that cleans our subdivision. He's a maintenance guy. He was running. And I was like, hey, how you doing? And he stopped. He said, oh. I was like, oh. Usually he doesn't stop, right? Usually like, hey, how you doing? What's up, man? Yeah, it's good, good, yeah. Hey, how are you? You fine? You don't really want to talk to people. You just say hi. It's a courtesy, right? That's what Christians do. No, that's That's what people do. They, hi, how you doing? And then when people say, like, well, whoa, wait a minute, you need to have a schedule here. Appointments, dude, appointments. Time is precious. So we have no time to talk to people. Well, I wasn't planning to talk to people early in the morning after my devotion. That's not how it works. You do your devotion and work. You don't talk to people, weird people in the street. And he probably say, weird people sitting down outside. So he said, hi. He said, oh, yeah, I want to talk to you. I was like, oh, yeah, let's talk. He said, remember I said, I want to be a blessing today. Be careful what you ask for. So he said, well, I can't pay my bills. You know, my electric bill is going to be gone. I'm like, no, this is not the conversation I want to talk about. I talk about, you know, like God thing, like, how you doing, you know. And I said, can you help me out? And usually you don't do that to people that you don't know very much. But I prayed for him to be a blessing. And you know that when God said, when you let people borrow money, you're not going to get it back. And I'm like, so I smile like, huh. Yeah, just a minute. I went inside. I'm like, what am I doing? I got her like, here. You know, I'll pay it back. No, it's okay. It's okay. Don't pay it back. All right? And so we're new to this subdivision, so I only know him because he cleans out. It was amazing what happened after that. After that, I get to talk to a lot of people because of him. I was like, I hope they're not coming to borrow more money. Very compassionate right here, missionary. Woo! Applied it right away. I'm a good missionary. Thank you for supporting me. That's who I am. But the amazing opening, the moment you reach out to people, God does something. You pray, some of us will pray like, oh, God, please reach them. You know, God opened his hearts and we don't do anything. And God can work through you. He can work through someone else. And I get to have to talk to this guy and talk to a lot of people and talk about my life and what we do. An opportunity to witness to them. Just because of that one obedience that I didn't know what it's going to look like. To reach out to people. The people that you work with, look at them the way Jesus looked at them and reach out to them. You will be surprised on what God can do through you. The people in the street, the people around the world. See, God desires for us to partner with him. He can do all of this stuff without us, but he desires for us to partner with him. Next slide. Where are the Christian workers today? There's a huge imbalance. 95 to 98% of all full-time Christian workers are in regions of the world which have already been evangelized or already have heard the gospel. And that's a really sad truth. I'm not going to judge these people that are coming to place. I mean, we have, in Davao, we have more missionaries coming from Korea, from the U.S., and I have to keep my mouth shut when they talk to me. Because I wish they would go to places where there's no gospel. Only 2 to 5% ministering to unreached people groups. And I love the program that you have with missions here. I was talking to Pastor Erwin and he said, we want to send people here. We look at the map. It's huge. Like people here, people there, you know, unreached people groups. And there's nothing wrong with other missionaries. I'm just saying for me. My desire is to go to places where the gospel is not available. They said in the Philippines, people will hear the gospel at least 5 times a day through media, music. Some people in the world, some places in the world today can't even hear the gospel, not even once. Do you care for the unlost, for the lost? Do we care for these people? Do we have compassion? Are you ready to act? Are you ready to reach out and engage the people? for Christians, we need to pray for more compassion and to be able to act and reach out and engage. If you are here today and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you something. Jesus has compassion on you. He loves you. The only reason why he came here is for you. You see, we could never do it on our own. Jesus, because of his compassion, he acted. He came for you. He reached out and engaged you. He died on the cross and rose again. That's for you. He loves you. All you need to do is to repent from your sins and believe the Lord Jesus. What he did on the cross is for you. It's so simple. You don't have to work for it. It has been paid. It is finished. He loves you. I don't know what your struggles are, but Jesus sees you. And when he sees you, he said, I have full and I'm filled with compassion. And I want to save you. All you need to do is respond to his call. I don't know where you are in life, but nothing is impossible with God. He loves you. Repent and come to Jesus. And if you have that decision and you want to know more, you can talk to some of the pastors here. Because that's the only reason why he came. Not only to reach out the world, but also to reach you here. In order for us to fulfill the Great Commission, we need to care, to have compassion, to act right away, to reach out and engage. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to work with you. Lord, I pray that you will touch our hearts, that we may have compassion just like you do, that we see people like you do, to get out of our comfort zone and to really allow you, Lord, to use us to be able to reach out. We ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to help us grow in loving the lost. In Jesus' name.